First of all, it is certainly an honor to be here to enjoy such a wonderful company, and also most importantly, to have enjoyed and remembered the Lord in the breaking of bread. Certainly, that is the center, or that is the most significant aspect of the Lord's Day. It is to remember the Lord Jesus. It is His desire, as we are told in Luke, that it is His desire for us to remember Him. And what a wonderful occasion when we can come together to remember the Lord and to reflect on His death. Today I'd like to share with you three expressions from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "And now when He had spoken these things, which they watched. While they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight." Then in Acts chapter 2, verse 24 of Acts chapter 2, verse 24, "Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be held by it." Then in verse 32, "This Jesus has God raised up, of which we are all witnesses." Then in chapter 3, verse 13, chapter 3, verse 13, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified His servant Jesus Christ, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." These three expressions we find in chapter 1, the thought of Him being taken up. The other expression we find in chapter 2, that He is raised up. And the other expression in chapter 3, He is delivered up. I'd like to engage your attention for a moment, for, you know, the rest of the time that we have, with these three expressions. I'd like to suggest that the taking up in chapter 1 is in relation to God. God takes Him up. In chapter 2, the raising up is in relation to us, that He raised Him up for our justification. There are many reasons, if you study the book of Acts, that you will see that is given in relation to Him being raised up. We can learn from Ephesians chapter 1 that God demonstrates His power, right? The exceeding greatness of His power when He raised Him up from the dead. But then in chapter 3, we have the thought of Him being delivered up. And I believe that that is in relation to wicked men. They delivered Him up. And you would expect that you will get the deliver up in our logic of thinking. First of all, you'd have to think of Him being delivered up first. Then before, you know, men killed Him, put Him to death. And we are told in the end of chapter 2 that God did not allow His Holy One to see corruption. So God raised Him up. And then in order for Him to be taken up, He had to be raised up first. So you'd expect that order. But no, God begins in the order of these thoughts. I'd like to suggest that God begins with at the point where man has no power or has no, man cannot, that's the point. It's beyond that point or the point of man to be able to do anything. So God takes Him up. God takes Him up. So I'd like to focus on this one point first, the point of Him being delivered up. So I wouldn't start in the order that it is that I've read it. I'd like to start first with what we have in Acts chapter 3. That in verse 13, that He is delivered up. The Lord Jesus was delivered up by wicked men. Wicked men, as it were, did all manner of evil things to the Lord Jesus while He was here in this world. And this man, the Lord Jesus, while He was here in this world, He delighted the heart of His God and Father. What a man He was, who was always about His Father's business, doing that which delighted the heart of God. And men, as it were, for no reason, we have in the book of John, we see the gradual rejection of the Lord Jesus in the book of John that they hated him because of his words. They hated him because of his work. Then his person also as well. In the book of John, we find that men hated the person of the Lord Jesus. There was attack on his person. And that is because he was a man who was here in this world. You know, in the Psalms, we are told that for no reason they hated him without a cause. What a lovely man he was here for God's delight, that the God and Father would open the heavens and express his delight in this blessed man who was here doing the will of God. For men hated him because he was for God here in this scene. And so men thought that they could deliver him up. Or men, as it were, in their activities, they would seek to deliver him up so that he might be put to death. And that is the objective of the delivering up, so that he might be killed, he might be put to death. So we see here that the Lord Jesus was delivered up. And you know, men thought that they were in control. But you know what? The scripture tells us, even in chapter 2, that it was according to God's determinate counsel. I think in verse 23 of chapter 2, right? Him being delivered by the determinate purpose and foreknowledge of God was taken, you have taken, and by lawless hands have crucified and put him to death. And men would think that in verse 27, I think it says, and this is quoting from the Psalms, verse 26, therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. This is the intent of man, that, you know, death brings an end for man. The greatest display of power is when a person can be raised up from the dead. Ephesians tells us that God raised him up from the dead. So, but let's stick on this thought of him being delivered up by wicked men. Because men, as it were, in their wickedness, desire that an end would be brought to this man. Because this man has come from God, as it were, and he is against everything that we hold dear. So men delivered him up. But it was according to God's design that he would be delivered up. He was delivered up for your sins and for my sins. He died at the cross so that you and I would find forgiveness of sins. As a matter of fact, he allowed himself. He could have prevented himself from being nailed to the cross. He could have prevented himself. He could have called on legions of angels to come and deliver him. But the Lord Jesus Christ allowed himself. He was like that lamb led to the slaughter. Right? He was dumb. He did not open his mouth as he was led, as we are told in Isaiah. He was delivered up so that he might die in our state, in our stead. But think of all that men did to him. This morning we were contemplating all the things that they did to the Lord Jesus as they would seek to bring an end to his life. The spitting and the mockery and the ridicule and all of these things they did to the person of the Lord Jesus. They delivered him up. But he was delivered up, what? For my offenses. That's what Romans chapter 4 tells us. And one brother made that expression in his thanksgiving. He was delivered up for my offenses. You know, men thought that they were delivering him up so that he might be killed because they want an end to him. But it was God's plan that he would be delivered up. We read it in Acts chapter 2 that it was God's design that this man would be delivered up so that the price for my sin would be paid for. He was delivered up for my offenses. You know, in Romans chapter 8, we are told, I think it's verse 25, that God, you see, men in their hatred for the person of the Lord Jesus delivered him up. But God, because of his grace, delivered his only begotten son so that you and I would have forgiveness of sins. So you and I could be, as it were, brought into the purposes of God. He was delivered up for my offenses. And in chapter 2, we are told that God raised him up. This is a wonderful thought, that God raised the person of the Lord Jesus. You know, man can only go so far And having brought an end to him, they buried him, and they heard that he said that he was going to be raised again on the third day of the week. Or he was going to be raised up, and they put guards there. Men did all they could to keep him in the grave. But as you know, the saying goes, you could never keep a good man down. The Lord Jesus, by the power of God, as a matter of fact, even before he laid down his life, even before he died, he said, I lay down my life that I might take it up again. What a powerful man. Which man in the day of his death can say, I lay down my life? The Lord Jesus knew the hour of his death. The Lord Jesus knew when that hour would come. Which man? The wisest man said, who can retain his spirit in the day of his death? Ecclesiastes. But the Lord Jesus, as it were, knew the hour, knew the moment, and he could say, the hour is come. You read the expression even before that. The hour was not yet come. The hour was not yet come. But then you read, the hour was come. The Lord Jesus would lay down his life in death. He would be made an offering for sin. My sins and your sins. He would die so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He would die so that we can have forgiveness of sins. He would die so that we can be made the children of God. You know, it is so marvelous and amazing that God not only delivered us from the state in which we found ourselves, but beloved, God has made us his dear children. Oftentimes, when we help people and we see people in certain predicaments, I mean, there are people that do. They would help people out of circumstances, but then they would adopt them. But God has done that and much more. He has given us all things in Christ. If God has, Romans says, if God has given us his son, that God will also give us all other things. Romans chapter 8, verse 25, I believe, says that. How wonderful God is that he gave his son so that he would die in my stead and in my room. But God raised him up from the dead, as we are told here. Raised up Christ Jesus in verse 24. Who God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. God raised him up. Man delivered him up, put him to death. But God, and this is according to God's plan, God's purpose, as we see in chapter 2, that it was determined, it was God's, in God's foreknowledge that Christ would be delivered up. Men put him to death. He had to die because without any death of his, there would be no remission of sins. And I want to say, is there anyone here today who does not know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior? We have to preach the gospel. We have to tell people, is there a person here that does not know Christ? I would assume that everyone here knows the Lord Jesus as their Savior. He was delivered up for your sins, but he was raised up by the power of God. By the power of God. He was raised up. But then, as we are told in Acts chapter 1, God takes him up. So the raising up is in relation to us, because if he was not raised from the dead, as Romans chapter 4, I think the last verse there tells us, that we would still be in our sins. The fact that he is risen from the dead is indicative of this fact, that our sins have been forgiven. He was raised, he was delivered up for our transgression, and he was raised for our justification, right? So the fact that he has been risen, all those who put their trust and their faith in the Lord Jesus, their sins are forgiven. So he's raised up. And there are many things that are connected here to the raising up of the Lord Jesus. You can check that out. The testimony of the saints. Because, I mean, the fact that he's raised and they were those who saw him, they can give testimony that Jesus Christ is risen. Right? The fact that God also raised him up and loosed him from his pains, as we were told in verse 24. And, you know, I'll give you that work. You can check it out to see that there are many other things that are connected to the raising up of the Lord Jesus. I'll tell you, one of the most important things of the Christian faith, fundamental to the Christian faith, is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead. The resurrection of Christ. if you touch the resurrection, not only the resurrection, but the person of the Lord Jesus, fundamental to the Christian faith. If you interfere with a person, the person, meaning his humanity, the incorruptible humanity of the Lord Jesus, you interfere with the foundation of Christianity, because if he was not a man, he could not die. You know, there are all of these things that people bring in to confuse Christians. If he was not a man, he could not have died. Isn't that correct? A spirit cannot die. So the Lord Jesus, and this is the dilemma that John was facing in his epistle, the epistle of John, where there were those who were denying the incorruptible humanity of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus became a man. He had to have become a man. He's a perfect man. He died, but he was raised. There are those who deny his bodily resurrection. The Lord Jesus was raised. He was seen by many. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us that. So the resurrection of Christ is fundamental to the Christian faith. The Lord Jesus is risen. And by the eyes of faith, those of us who believe on him, by the eyes of faith, we can look above. The Spirit of God brings us to the Scriptures and gives us this assurance that Jesus Christ is risen. Have you seen Christ in the glory? And so he's taken up. What a wonderful thought is this, that God ends. God begins with the climax. God begins with him being taken up. He's taken up into glory. What a lovely man in the glory of God. He is there in that place. One brother was expressing it this morning in his Thanksgiving. He's in that place of honor, greatness, and power, supremacy. There's no higher place. He is given the highest place, and this is the thought of Hebrew. His place is exclusive. The exclusivity of his place. Unto which of the angels said he at any time, sit down here at my right hand. But not only do we find in the book of Hebrews that God is saying unto his son, unto thy throne, O God. Thy throne, O God, is forever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hate iniquity. Therefore, thy God has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So the Lord Jesus is exalted in the glory of God. So he's taken up into glory. He's deserving of that place. He's taken up into glory. He's in the glory of God. So this Lord Jesus that men have crucified and they have rejected, they give him the lowest place, they mocked him, they rejected him, they put him to death. God in his exceeding great power has raised him up from amongst the dead, and now God, as it were, has taken him up. This man who delighted the heart of God, this man who was holy and righteous, how could God allow his Holy One to see corruption? God would raise him up from the dead. And God gives him this place of honor and glory and power. On one hand, this is what God does for him. But on the other hand, he raises himself up. Yeah? I have power to lay down my life and to take it up again. He is deserving. In the book of Ephesians, he sits down because of the... Actually, in the book of Hebrews, he sits down because of the greatness of himself. But then God also sets him down. Because this man delighted the heart of God. What a lovely person he is. This one. You know, I didn't get into the history and the background of the book of Romans. I just wanted to stick with these three expressions of him being taken up. He's there in the glory of God. He's in that place of supremacy. And you know, there's no issue of contention between divine persons. Like you find in the book of Joseph. Pharaoh would say to Joseph, you know what? I am higher than you in this throne. We don't find that. The issue of contention is not there between divine persons. We find that in the book of Philippians. That even though he became a man, and even though in his humanity he becomes dead, lower than the angel, not because he became a man. Far be the thought. Not because he became a man, but death makes him lower than the angels. But even as the Lord Jesus would take this state, take on humanity, the issue of his supremacy is not a matter of contention between divine persons. The Lord Jesus is deserving. But you know, I tell you, I'm amazed at the greatness of the Lord Jesus. I'm amazed at the humility of the person of the Lord Jesus, that in spite of his greatness, he would take this place.
place of humility, he would say in John 17, Father, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the foundation of the world. The Lord Jesus takes this place of humility for that which it rightfully is. Father, glorify thou me with the glory. What a person is the person of the Lord Jesus. So he's taken up. The taking up is in relation to God. He is the one who delighted the heart of God. The raising up is in relation to us. He is raised up for my sins. But there are many other things. You can check it out in the book of Acts that is connected, and I'm sure in other scriptures that is related to the raising up. If he was not raised, then our preaching would be in vain. If he was not raised, we would still be in our sin. He died as a perfect man. He was raised as a glorified, perfect man too as well. Perfect man. You can touch him. Thomas had doubts. There's a risen man that has ascended up into the glory of God. And God, as it were, comes to that point where man has ended. Man delivered him up to be crucified. They whipped him. They beat him. They did all manner of evil thing against the person of the Lord Jesus. But God would raise him up into this place of honor and greatness. How should this affect my life as a believer? I should be like Peter, who's declaring this. You know, in Acts chapter 3, see the grace of God coming in that this man who was there begging, Peter would remind them about what they did to the person of the Lord Jesus. But then he would bring to them the grace of God that they should repent. In chapter 3, if you read a little further down, he tells them that they need to repent of their sins so that they can be saved. In verse 19, repent. And mind you, he's speaking here to the Jewish people. He's saying to them, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. So that the time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, whom we preach. We need to preach Jesus. We need to preach. This is how this truth of the Christ being raised up should affect me and you, that we need to tell others about the Lord Jesus. Lord, help me that wherever I am, I might be able to tell others about the Lord Jesus. Not only that, we should be excited that we serve a risen Savior. We should be excited that there is a man in the glory of God who has died for my sins, and because of his death, my sins have been all forgiven. This is how this should affect my life, that I should be excited about Christ, that I should go on for him. We live in a day of small things, and many people think that company, you know, you have a large company, that determines your enjoyment of Christ. Beloved, you are in this place. There are not many of us here. But we can enjoy Christ. What a wonderful thing that we can enjoy the person of the Lord Jesus. There are many places, and in the wisdom and foreknowledge of God, he knew that there would be two and three. But we can enjoy Christ. We can speak of him one to another. We can live in hope and anticipation that he's coming again. May the Lord help me and you, that we might be affected by this thought that he is taken up. And he's there in that place of exaltation, greatness, and power and supremacy, that this would affect me, that I would live faithfully for the Lord in this scene, for his honor, praise, and glory. Amen.
Amen.